Paul, and to the FSC more generally for inviting me to talk in response to Sir Paul's talk, which I've just heard, so I'll do my best to respond to it. First thing I should say is that BP has a very strong vested interest in the success of the UK's research and higher education system, particularly in the science, technology, and engineering and mathematics subjects. We conduct over 40% of our global research and development here, which is approaching £500 million a year. And we have three of our seven major research centres here in Hull, Pangbourne and Sunbury. And if anything, that percentage is growing. We're consolidating our research here into the UK. So we care deeply about the health of the scientific system here in the UK. So what is my relationship to this topic? As BP's head of technology, we define technology in BP as the practical application of science to manage risk, capture business value, and inform strategy. And so making science work, I think, is pretty close to my job description, or in Sir Paul's words, I herd the cats in BP. So what does that mean in BP? And I think you'll find that there's quite a lot of parallels here to what it might mean more generally. So the first thing is there are four key components of, if you like, my job. The first here is ensuring strategic alignment. And what that means is that technology, science and technology in BP needs to both inform and be informed by the business strategy. That means if our competitors are out-competing us, then the chances are that we'll be left behind and we have to compete. The second thing is what we call a collaborative organisation, and this is really about making sure that the sum of the parts is greater than the whole. Technology needs to be multidisciplinary and intimate with the businesses. So we have very much a decentralised organisational model with the technology units located close to our businesses. Applied technology is largely relevant to a single business, but science does not recognise organisational boundaries, and the brightest minds need to be able to turn their attention to the biggest problems in the company. The third thing is sustainable capability, and we need access to the brightest minds and the best facilities, and we can't do all of that inside BP. We do use synchrotrons, we don't use them very often, and we certainly couldn't afford to build one. Roughly half of our expenditure is inside BP, and half of our expenditure is outside BP with universities, research institutions, and other joint venture collaborators. And we tend to do the more commercially sensitive and applied development of technology inside BP. I would also say that quite often it's not what you plan to do that matters the most. It's the ability of a technology organisation to respond to the unexpected, to the unpredictable, that often defines its greatest moment. Sadly, we had to do that in 2010. And then lastly, technology management. We need a common language and process inside the company for allocating resources. And we try and put the lessons learned of the past into practice. And so that means that we have a system which translates research through development, demonstration, into commercialization across the company. So where are the parallels here, I think, for the UK science system more generally? The first thing I would say is the level of expenditure competitive? I couldn't agree more with what Sir Paul said. I wondered he might say it again, but he didn't. But he said it in his Dimbleby lecture, and I quote, "In the future, we will not be able to compete on the world stage with low labour costs or by exploiting vast reserves of mineral resources. We will have to compete with our brains and with our science. And I worry about the longer-term consequences in the UK of university fees, flat nominal budgets, and limitations on capital for infrastructure." The second thing is, do we have the right balance between competition and collaboration in the research base in the UK? The third thing is, are we still attracting the brightest minds and giving them access to the best infrastructure? Or are we making it increasingly difficult for the best scientists to come here? And the last thing is there an appropriate strategic process in the UK which directs investment and supports innovation? I might just abstract here slightly to another project I'm involved in, which is nothing to do with my BP hat, and that is the Council for Industry and Higher Education's research into making the most of research in the UK, and give you a flavour of where that piece of work is coming to. I'm co-chairing this with Shirley Pearce from Loughborough University, and it's about enhancing the value of UK research. We published the first report, which Alan Hughes, amongst others, did into analysing research and development expenditure in the UK. We're about to publish the second, which is about the impact of that public research expenditure in the UK. That'll be coming out in the next few days. And our final report will be out in September. And without wishing to prejudge the outcome, I offer you my sense of where we're getting to thus far in the work. The first thing to say is that research is a competitive global activity, and it is in danger of becoming too fragmented in the UK. The second thing is the UK's research system is both open and excellent, as evidenced by the very large amount of inward investment. The risks are, firstly, that this investment could go elsewhere as the UK's proportion of global expenditure declines, or that the UK could increasingly be viewed as providing a higher education and research service at cost to the rest of the world, with developing countries capturing a growing market share. Large international companies account for the majority of the UK's business research expenditure and actually have the capacity to interface effectively with the UK's universities and funding organisations. These same companies choose where they invest, where they can find the best people, and where they can leverage national research expenditures and infrastructure. Smaller companies, however, account for a very, very small proportion of research and development expenditure in the UK, and often they struggle to leverage the university and funding systems in the same way that we can. The next comment is that commercialisation research is one of the many ways in which value is created and is inherently very risky indeed. Large companies are practiced at this and have the ability to manage the whole innovation pipeline and portfolio, working with public research institutions. Failures occur regularly and are absolutely to be expected. Smaller companies have fewer resources and a narrower portfolio, making failure often terminal and success equally dramatic. The impact, your word, of publicly funded research is very difficult to quantify, but is consistently assessed in every single piece of work as strongly positive. Innovation pathways vary by industry sector, depending upon, for example, the clock speed of that industry, that's the time it takes to go from an idea to actually making a difference in the real world, industry structure, and the significance of intellectual property. The next thing is that the absence of an industrial strategy has arguably resulted in the offshoring of manufacturing, fewer opportunities for local leverage of our research base, and a lack of strategic prioritisation of public research funding. And lastly, despite having a vibrant financial services industry in the UK, UK inventions often end up being funded by overseas businesses. So the question is, what's missing? And again, I don't know if these will be our conclusions, but I offer five things. The first is that confidence in the value of public research as a sustainable basis for the UK's success on a global stage, and hence the trajectory of public R&D. That's the first thing that may be missing. The second thing is what is being called an industrial strategy, but one that's based on greater intimacy between government, academia, and business, so-called public-private partnerships. This could result in policies targeted by sectors and company size in order to increase UK value added. The third missing is a broader notion of impact when assessing research excellence. I love the words of quality and passion, and I think this is as much about connections as it is possibly some kind of NPV calculation. The fourth thing that I'm missing is less energy going into competing for scarce government funds and more going into collaborating to compete for larger programs and global funds. And then the last suggestion might be encouraging the financial services sector to turn its considerable firepower into the financing of research infrastructure and smaller companies. That was my response, hopefully some of it to the mark, to Paul's speech. Thank you.